It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
The SEC kickoff 23. Looking forward to being down there in the Music City. Nashville coming up on Monday, so Paul will be back doing his show there from Nashville, and of course we'll be kicking things off over the SEC this morning as we get 4 days to break it all down. Your phone calls always welcome, 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. Of course, the big news coming today, a little bit of the idea of what was going to happen with the NCAA investigation into Tennessee. We now know. So we'll get into those details of what happened. And if you want a too long, didn't read version of it, no postseason bowl ban for the Tennessee Volunteers. Other than that, there's a lot of stuff. So we'll get into every single thing, how the NCAA got to this point. Is it right? Is it wrong? What's going to go down and how does it affect this team right now? How does it affect all of NCAA? Because I think that's something we have to look into as well. And the fallout from the coaching staff that is no longer there and what that means on the tentacles as well. We've got some great guests that are going to be joining us coming up today. Of course, David Ubben over in about 15 minutes does some fantastic work over The Athletic. Daniel Libet from Sportico, going to talk a little bit about name, image, and likeness. David Ridpath from the Drake Group as well in the second hour. Travis L. Brown, talk a little Aggies. Jimbo Fisher, Bobby Petrino talk in hour number three. And then Adam Sparks from Knox News. And, of course, the monster news coming out today, Tennessee told of its NCAA punishment, basically, that has been handed down from there. But I buried the lead. In 27 minutes, we will be joined by the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel. I want to know what Josh has to say. This is a situation in which these penalties over the University of Tennessee preceded him. Remember, this all went down in December 2020, I believe, is the notes on as far as, hey, when all these investigations started happening, when they knew something was going on, Jeremy Pruitt relieved of his duties. At some point, Danny White was then hired as the athletic director, and Danny White had to say, listen, there's stuff coming down the pipeline. I'm going to interview a bunch of people. Josh Heupel at some point sat down with Danny White and said, okay, I understand what's happening, but I want the job. And what he's done is a damn good job over in Knoxville. But what's that like when he heard the news? We'll ask him that to get a feel for what's this going to be like trying to navigate this over the last couple of years and navigate it going forward. By the way, we might actually talk a little football as well. 855-242-PAUL is the number. So the things we do know about what went down is now we're getting to the point, and you're getting all of the details, that the NCAA came out in their investigation and had said there is a 5-year probation period for the Tennessee Volunteers. Okay? You're officially grounded. You got 5 years that we got an eye on you. You don't cross an I, you don't cross a T, things go sideways, you're in big trouble. But the also part of it is that there was going to be some penalties involved. 28 total football scholarships. That's a reduction of them, right? A total of 28 during the term of the probation, which, again, it's going to be 5 years. So you could spread that out a little bit. Official visits going to be reduced by 36 during the term of the probation. And unofficial visits as well. There is some ban on communications. There is other evaluation days, a lot of that stuff. There are show causes involved, which means basically you can't really work anywhere else. For all intents and purposes, that you need a letter upon letter upon letter to even be looked at for some of these jobs, right? That's going to happen. 6-year show cause for Jeremy Pruitt. 5-year show cause for former director of recruiting, 10-year show cause for a former assistant director of recruiting, 2-year show causes for a couple other former assistants. Now, from what I understand, every single one of these members are former members over at Tennessee football. So that chapter, anybody involved in this, it has been cleared house. They are no longer part of it. And when I started thinking about what the NCAA was going to do, we've known that this was going to be happening for a while. The question was there going to be a postseason ban? That's a huge deal, especially when you look at what Heupel had been building. You look at, heck, if South Carolina game doesn't happen last year, they're already in postseason play. This, despite having some of the scholarship reductions and having to deal with the mess of recruiting over the last couple of years that Jeremy Pruitt left this whole thing in. And so the NCAA had to look at this and go, all right, how do we, if there are violations, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's an SEC school, a Big Ten school, AC, it doesn't matter. But if there are violations, how do we punish these teams? Okay. Well, you could do it in scholarships. You could do it in official visits. This is going to be a monetary fine. I believe it's something along the lines of $8 million. I saw Chris Lowe earlier today tweeted that I believe it's the biggest single fine the NCAA has ever levied. That's real money. That's a huge deal. Okay. But what it came down to it is, would this team, would Joe Milton, would guys like Squirrel White, Ramil Keaton, were these guys that weren't a part of this, were they going to have to pay for the sins of former players slash former assistant coaches, former head coaches and recruiting guys? And I think, frankly, the answer should be no, right? We've always looked at that as like how long the quote-unquote the wheels of justice turn over at the NCAA offices, while the time that they see an investigation, they decide to launch the investigation, they notice the notice of infractions, blah, 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 blah. It seems like it's 15 years down the road, and you're like, I don't even know what happened. This moved pretty quick. And the reason why it moved pretty quick was to the credit, in my mind, of Don D. Plowman, the chancellor, that when this went sideways, they nipped this in the bud, and they went to the NCAA and said, here it is. Here's what's going on. What do you need to know? We're cooperating with you. That's weird in our times, right? How often, how many other schools, thinking of Kansas right off the bat, how many other schools to just be like, yeah, we're good. We're not going to do anything. We don't need to work with you, right? North Carolina and their academic fraud stories. A while back, they were like, oh, we don't need to work with you. We're good over here. And nobody was held accountable for the most part. So there was a question on whether or not, well, wait a minute, why should you ever work with the NCAA on stuff like this? This is an example of how this should work. You break the rules. You go to them and you say, we realize there were rules that are going to be broken. We're working with you right now on how this is going to work out as far as our punishments. And what do you need to know? These people are no longer here. Okay? You need more information? We'll get you that information. And the NCAA has even come out and said earlier today that had this been more of a, hey man, we're circling the wagons here. We're not talking to anybody, anything about this, whatever. Postseason ban probably would have happened. Okay? So, listen, I don't have a whole lot of faith in a ton of things when it comes to the NCAA, especially when it comes to their punishments. But if you look at this and say, Tennessee is going to have to deal with a lot of stuff going forward, but at the same point, it doesn't cripple them, nor should it cripple the new head coach, the new athletic director, all the people that they clean house with, all of these new guys in here. They have an opportunity now to have a sigh of relief and go, this chapter is beyond us. 855-242-PAUL. We'll take your phone calls coming up. David Ubben from The Athletic. And again, in 15 minutes, also going to be joined by the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel, to get his thoughts on everything that happened today. Peter Burns in for the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
15 minutes until head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel, joins me, Peter Burns, here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. We're going to talk to David Ubben in just a moment. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Christian in Alabama, real quick in here. What's up, buddy? How are you? Christian, you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. What do you got for me real quick?
So I wanted to ask you two questions. Number one, who are you most excited for long-term in the SEC between Oklahoma and Texas? And then number two, if you have the mic in hand next week, hypothetically, because I know you're going to be covering everything, but if you had to ask Coach one question, Coach Saban, one question for the season, what are you asking? Have a good day.
It's a great question. Thank you. And I know it's a cop-out. I'm actually excited about Texas and Oklahoma coming in. Maybe a little more Texas because I'm from San Antonio and saw the Longhorns for so long. And then with Sark coming in, I think there's more SEC tentacles into Texas. But both of them are going to be fantastic. If I had Saban and I could ask him I'd ask him quick two questions. And I'm going to bring David Ubben in from The Athletic on this because he's going to be asking the questions as well over here in Nashville. David, I would probably ask Coach Saban two things. One, are you nervous about this year? And the only reason why I ask is I would love for him, we're assuming he gives him truth serum and he actually tells us the truth, because I think there's a lot of pressure on this team. And the second thing I'd ask him is, Jeremy Pruitt's not going to be part of your staff in Tuscaloosa. Those are probably the two questions I'd ask him, David.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. I mean, I think when it comes to the Alabama conversation for me, I look around at that team and I say, I'm not sure I believe this team can score points and certainly score enough points to make a run in the SEC this year. I think you look around the conference, LSU looks like a much more complete team, but the biggest question for me for Alabama, it's just everywhere on the offense. People talk about the quarterbacks, but they didn't answer their receiver issue. They don't really have great backs. The offensive line has a ton of communication issues from last year. And you bring in Tommy Reese, who, you know, certainly has done some things, but has a lot of, you know, skepticism surrounding him as well. So I just have a lot of questions about the offense. I think the defense will be fine, but you got to score points to win a bunch of games this year.
I don't think there's a doubt, and I think that's why there's as much pressure in Tuscaloosa, just simply because of the fact that Kirby has put the pedal to the metal, and he has done what he's done down in Athens. Look at Brian Kelly's first season over in Baton Rouge and what he's done. By no means, I don't believe that Nick Saban, who is the greatest coach in the history of college football, feels that pressure, but that doesn't mean it does not exist around that program. There was a lot of pressure around Tennessee waiting to hear what was going to happen. What was your reaction when you saw the NCAA penalties that came down earlier today?
Well, I think the biggest thing that everybody's been asking for the last couple of years is there going to be a bowl ban? You know, Tennessee strategically said, hey, in 2021, we're not taking a bowl ban. We don't want to punish these kids that have anything to do with it. And so, you know, that's sort of the headline maker and the big thing that everybody was waiting on. The fine was probably higher than people may have expected. It's the highest that we've ever seen. But I think the NCAA going after Wallace and not after kids' postseason destinations is probably the best decision. But, you know, with the changes in rules and all of the NIL and the rule changes that have happened since, you know, Tennessee committed these violations, I'm not even sure how many of these more cases we're even going to see, especially ones where it comes from, you know, players getting money. Because obviously it's very easy to move money around and get money into players' pockets in a way that's legal.
Right. But with that being said, those were the rules in place and those rules were broken. And I go back and look at this, and I think this was the rare case where Tennessee made the right call. The NCAA made the right call. Am I wrong here, David, in the fact of Tennessee said, hey, mistakes were made. They worked through this process. They fired people that were around it and now said, all right, we're going to self-impose some scholarship stuff and some visit stuff like that with the idea of working with the NCAA. And I'm a firm believer the NCAA actually used that help and basically let them off without having a postseason ban. That's not my words. That's actually the NCAA talking about it today.
I mean, I even think using the term working with the NCAA is generous. Tennessee paid for all of this investigation to be done, and the NCAA got to attend some of the Zooms and sit down and some of the in-person interviews and just attend. So this is, you know, Tennessee obviously was very motivated to get rid of Jerry Pruitt, who had made a lot of enemies on campus. It was going to cost $13 million to get rid of him. They wanted to get rid of him. So, you know, certainly, you know, if Jerry Pruitt goes 8-2 in 2020 instead of 3-7, you know, that this is probably handled differently. I think to suggest otherwise is a little bit silly. And, you know, flies in the face of reality. But Tennessee, you know, paid a lot of money to have this investigation done. And it's very different when your employer says, hey, turn in your non-university phone versus the NCAA turn. When the NCAA says it, you don't have to do that. And especially at schools that don't want to face punishments, you don't need to do that. But when your employer says, hey, turn in your university or your non-university phone that we found exists, that's a different question.
And we live in a world, too, now where we want accountability, right? We feel like left to right, right to up and down, there's not accountability. We're asking for there to be accountability. There was. And at the same point, now I go back, and that's where I'm curious. We'll talk to Josh Heupel here in about 10 minutes. I'm so curious about those conversations because, David, you were part of that search. You looked at it. You covered it. That when Danny White took this job, there was this kind of circle, these clouds around it, and Josh Heupel says, "I'm gonna go into this headwind right now." And honestly, looks pretty damn good doing it because the team's solid. And then now that they kind of probably have a little bit of breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of the trump card in all of this conversation and discussion and debate over. Oh, these punishments, you know, are they fair? Were they right? Did we make the right decisions? At the end of the day, you've got a football program that's very healthy, that has recruited well, despite a lot of negative recruiting on the recruiting trail, that just won the Orange Bowl and just beat Alabama last year. So ultimately, you know, whatever decisions you made, you've got a successful football program, and that is sort of the end goal here. And I think the only thing that Tennessee was sort of waiting on is, please, NCAA, don't do anything to undercut the success. And I don't think any of the recruiting sanctions they put over the top, which, you know, 28 scholarships sounds like a lot, but Tennessee's already imposed like 18 over the first 3 years, so they were well prepared for that. And, you know, visits and all that stuff is what it is. $8 million is a lot of money, but at the end of the day, that's not one that I don't think is going to see a lot of impact on the field. And again, I think it comes down to, Tennessee just wanted this program to be fixed and win games on the field. At the end of the day, that's what the whole operation is all about, and they've done that. And so as long as you don't have that bowl ban, I think most people around Tennessee and, you know, inside and outside the building are calling this a win for them.
There is it's a monster win, an epic win for that program going forward, as now they can say, hey, we're scot-free. Now let's go forward as far as winning football games and focusing on that and not focusing on anywhere else. But by the way, 5-year probation, you still need to make sure you're doing the right things. Last quick question. I assume it'll be Georgia picked in the East. Who do you think will be picked in the West next week at Media Days?
I don't even think it's – well, as far as who the media day people will pick, I don't know. I don't know how closely people look at it or how much benefit of the doubt they give Alabama. For me, I can't believe there's a debate. LSU looks like clearly the best team. I think LSU – if Georgia doesn't win the national championship, LSU is my pick to do it. It seems crazy to me that there's even any debate on this. LSU, you look around at how many impact players they have all over the field, from, you know, Mason Smith to obviously Jaden Daniels. You know, they bring back Malik Nabers, Harold Perkins, yeah. probably the most disruptive defensive force in the entire country. I mean, it's wild to me that this is even a question, because I feel like LSU may run away with it.
We will talk about that coming up all next week. He is David Ubben. Fantastic work over The Athletic. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, coming up, Josh Heupel, head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. Has he had a chance to talk to his team, his staff, his thoughts on this? What happens next? Sigh of relief, worried, all of that. We'll hear from the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers coming up next. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. It's Peter Burns in for the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Couple days away, everybody getting their summer vacations in, because when it starts on Monday, SEC Media Days, SEC kickoff, going to Nashville, first time the world will ever going to be out there. Looking forward to talking to all 14 coaches. In the year prior, it'll be, or in the year after that, it's going to end up being 16. Remember, we got Texas and Oklahoma coming in over in 24. The news of the day, Tennessee, hearing from the NCAA of what any punishments were going to come down from the investigation from several years ago. And joining us right now on the heels of finding out this news is the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel. Coach Heupel, I appreciate you joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. And first thoughts, when you guys knew that this was coming down the pipeline, when you see and your reaction today, what was it?
Well, we knew it was coming at some point for a while now. You know, we got word late yesterday that we would definitely have, you know, a conclusion to it today. And, you know, excited that that we were able to reach a great conclusion here. And our administration's worked for, you know, 2.5 years on trying to find a resolution to this. You know, they found out about what was going on, self-reported it. And been transparent, and you know, we wanted to protect, you know, our athletes and make sure that they had an opportunity to compete for championships, and we're able to do that, and really happy that we get a chance to put this behind us and move forward now.
Have you had a chance to talk to players, staff, to get their reaction on this news?
Well, the timing of when this came out, you know, in college football, this is when a lot of staffs are out of the building. A lot of our staff is. We had a Zoom, you know, as soon as we found out this morning what the actual penalties would be, we had a Zoom and went through that with them so that they were aware and up to speed on everything that was going on. And then when our players finished their workouts today, I'm out of town, but we had a Zoom meeting as well. And you know, it's kind of business as usual and ready to push forward.
Talking to Josh Heupel right now, talking about Tennessee pushing forward. Of course, the big news, no postseason bowl ban. I could hear it in your voice in that first answer. Was like it was about protecting the players that are on this team that have put in the work that had nothing to do with this. And this is when you look at the timeline as well, too. This goes back to December 2020. This predates Josh Heupel becoming the head coach. But there were conversations, I would imagine, between you and Danny White of what this job looked like and why it was worth fighting for to land this job. What were those conversations like back in 20, you know, the end of 20 and 21 before you took this job, knowing what was out there?
Yeah, this is an iconic brand and such a powerful and rich tradition inside the landscape of college sports, and certainly in college football too. You know, you're talking about a program that's top 10 in the history of college football, wins first round draft picks, you know, bowls, bowl wins. And I grew up around the game, watching the game, and just remember the great players and the steep tradition of what's going on in at Neyland Stadium. And so for me, the opportunity to take over a program like this, to be able to put your own stamp on it, and to be able to compete for championships was something that I certainly wanted to be a part of. And you know, you mentioned Danny. I already talked about our leadership, from, you know, our president to our chancellor. But having the ability to have real open dialogue with Danny during the process, to have great trust and where they thought this would ultimately end up, gave me great confidence that we were going to be able to hit the ground running. It was going to be a speed bump for our football program when I took over. But it wasn't going to be anything that delayed our progress. And people have been able to see that over the last 2 years. We certainly are excited about, you know, our football team that we have coming back for 23, and really looking forward to, you know, what we're doing in recruiting and the ability to build a consistent championship caliber football program.
Josh Heifel joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Coach, when you look at this from that investigation, the day you take the job, it's 2020 to early 21. We're some 2.5 years down the road, getting ready to lead into media days. Those last 2.5 years with this quote-unquote cloud around it of not knowing what was going on, what was the hardest part to navigate?
Well, certainly it's in recruiting. You know, our players, you know, because they're with you every day, they got a lot of trust in what you're doing as a program, leading that program. And what you're going to try to get, make sure you get accomplished for them. I think the hardest thing for our entire staff was in recruiting, and because it has nothing to do with us who are currently there. People tried to use it against us in recruiting negatively, you know, so you had to develop great trust with the recruits, their families. You know, you talk about the culture that you're building. You're talking about what happened and what you think the end result will be with the NCAA. You know, today's word gives us, you know, the ability to put it behind us, and it's out in the open, and it's finalized, and they can all realize that we're going to have an opportunity to go play for championships.
What, if anything, did you learn about the guys that decided to stick around and be a part of this team where they didn't know, and the transfer portal is open, and maybe more importantly, even, you know, sometimes a younger generation going, you know what, I got other options, I'm going to head out somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, the group of seniors, you know, last year and the year before, will have a completely different lineage of, you know, their impact inside of Tennessee football. And I say that because there was so much uncertainty. So many guys did leave. You know, those guys that stayed chose to stay because they care about the power T. They care about, you know, the guys that were in the locker room with themselves. And you look at the success and what they rebuilt in such a short amount of time. You know, it's certainly the pillars of our success that we've had and where we're going to. And you know, those classes will be remembered and revered in a completely different way than so many that came before them.
Last question for you, and it feels like between transfer portal and NCAA stuff and NIL, it feels like we haven't talked a lot of football over the last 2 years, right? I mean, like, you know how it is. What football-related, what are you excited about taking to the podium coming up on Monday in this team?
Man, I'm so excited about the work that our guys have put in. And you know, people talk about culture, but just the constant growth of who we are and how we interact and how we compete with each other. This group's a lot of fun to be around. You know, you look at the steps that we've taken. We're reflecting back a lot because of, you know, the NCAA stuff. But the steps that we've taken in the last 2 years, our guys have only heightened their sense of urgency, competitiveness, and connectedness to one another. And so as we get ready, you know, for training camp to open up here in a couple of weeks, I'm excited to get back on the grass with these guys and go compete. And who are the guys that are going to step up and take that next step, that next evolution in who they are as a player. And, you know, the leaders that have stepped up into new roles with the guys that graduated from a year ago, you know, they've been doing it all off season. Now they get a chance to do it when you're in the midst of the season and everything that's going on during a Saturday afternoon. And just excited to go compete with these guys.
You can hear it in your voice. I imagine you sleep a little bit easier tonight, but then fully well knowing you'll have knuckleheads like us asking you questions over in Media Days next week. Coach Heupel, we appreciate the time, and we'll see you in Nashville in a couple days.
Hey, I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you soon.
There it is, Josh Heupel joining us, Tennessee head coach. I would imagine, I mean, I'll get the read of the room and your phone calls as well, 855-242-PAUL, but feels as if that's a sigh of relief. I mean, I've known Josh now and Coach Heupel for probably, what, 3-4 years since, you know, we've kind of crossed paths over here at SEC Network and other things and talking to him at his spring meetings. I don't know how how do you not feel better about this? I mean, I can hear it in the voice of the idea going, listen, I inherited this. This was the baggage that I knew was at the front door when I took this job. And now, yeah, there's going to be stuff to deal with, but it's fixable. You know, it's not bull ban. It is not going to affect this team outside of, you know, some official visits, unofficial visits. And now you're not going to have to hear when you're recruiting, hey, man, you know what's going to happen down there, because at least you have some type of answer. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. That's 855-242-7285. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. We'll take a quick break, get your phone calls reacting to Josh Heupel joining us here on the Paul Finebaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Peter Burns in for the Paul Finebaum Show, 855-242-PAUL. Hit me up on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. Just had Coach Josh Heupel coming in and talking about how they got a heads up yesterday and that met with players via and coaching staff via Zoom, and that, hey, this feels like kind of a, I'm paraphrasing here, but I could see it or heard it in his voice, it feels like a fresh start. This is something that has been recruited against Tennessee. The question was like, hey, would postseason bowl ban, postseason playoffs, any of that come into play? It does not. I mean, they got real things. $8 million is a real deal. No, a reduction in visits, that's a real deal, especially in recruiting as the lifeblood of SEC and college football. Scholarships, you can spread that out over 5 years. Overall, if you're a Tennessee fan, you have to be absolutely over the moon today. How many times are people going to say you're over the moon with the NCAA? It's crazy. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Lee in Cincinnati, thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Finebaum Show. What's up, Lee?
Not much, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that in my opinion, for once, the NCAA got it right, because they're not penalizing Heupel. They're not penalizing the players who had nothing to do with this. Yes, they're penalizing Tennessee because they did have something to do with that, with the scholarship, with the business. But the person who got hit the hardest with this, have you ever seen anybody have to have a 6-year show cause like Jeremy Pruitt? But he was the one who was, no offense, he was the head coach. He was the one who should have been up on all this. He knew that all this was going on. And so that's the person, that's the entity that the NCAA came down the hardest on, not the team that's there now who had absolutely nothing to do with this. And I think that that's fantastic where the NCAA handled this for once.
Lee, I don't disagree. Like I said, this is one of the rare cases where I know the NCAA gets piled on for a bunch of different things, but I look at this and go, did you levy a punishment? Yes. Is it something that's fair to the current staff that's there? I think it's a fair deal. They're going to have to navigate it, but it's not the worst thing in the history of the world. And listen, too, Lee, like the NCAA also knows, let's be fully aware of this. The NCAA also knows their back's up against the ropes as well, too. That if they come in here swinging on every single team, and all of a sudden at some point, if a lot of programs are on you know, big-time postseason probation, that's going to make it a whole lot harder for them to say, why are we still doing this NCAA thing? Why don't we just govern our own rules?
Exactly. What I think that the NCAA has actually done is I think they've actually given themselves – they've actually – how do I say this? They've given themselves more respect. People are going to respect them more because of this decision than they did in the past. I know that I do, because I don't look at them now as just instead of trying to just, like I said, throw the book at everybody willy-nilly. They actually took into consideration all the parameters of this, and I think they finally made the good decision.
Got it, Lee. Anything else today, bud?
Oh, yeah. One other thing I want to ask about. And this is totally different, but I'm a big Florida Gator fan, okay? And I wanted to ask you, if you're a football fan, how can you not be but over-the-moon excited about the 2024 schedule that Florida plays? There only plays one team that's not a Power 5 conference. And I want to ask you, is this going to be indicative of how it's going to be from now on with Oklahoma and Texas coming into the SEC? Do I have to look forward to every game almost being like a football playoff game? Which, in my opinion, if you're a football fan, that's exactly what you want from college football. You know what I mean?
Lee, thank you for the phone call, and I think that's one of the reasons why when everybody was popping off at their gums and stuff about, oh, you know, look at the SEC, they don't play an 8-game, you know, they don't play a 9-game conference schedule, they only play 8. Remember everybody was saying that? Well, then I tell them to go look at Florida's 2024 schedule, where they'll play Florida State, they'll play Miami, they'll play Big 12 member UCF, and it'll be like, you want that schedule? Because I guarantee you Billy Napier and the Florida Gators much rather have this little patty cake ACC schedule or this Pac-12 schedule than this big boy 8-game schedule that the SEC is going to have in 24. So, again, I love it as a college football fan. As a Florida Gator fan, I need to see the Gators play a whole lot better in 2023 to make sure that works out well for them. Let's go David in Alabama. What's up, David?
Hey, Peter. How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Hope your summer's going well.
Oh, man, going awesome, going awesome. Hey, I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions, or actually three if I can. And after the second, third, I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say. But with the 6-year show calls for Jeremy Pruitt, does that mean he can't coach in college for 6 years?
There's different ways about this from what I understand. And I did not sleep at a Holiday Inn Express tonight, so I don't know all the answers here. But I believe it's like an on-field coaching. I would imagine you could structure something to where it's like this guy is a quote-unquote analyst and he doesn't do this, this, and this, but we're going to hire him basically. So you get the institutional knowledge of a coach. But you don't have them actually in a coaching part. I think that's how something like that would work. But let me tell you this. I've heard this around, okay, what does this mean for Jeremy Pruitt in Alabama? It would be embarrassing for Alabama to hire Jeremy Pruitt in any capacity at some point. Because I'm a firm believer there are so many people that have worked their absolute rear off. They've done it the right way. They haven't taken shortcuts. They respected the NCAA rule book. And they've worked so hard to get one of these unbelievable jobs, which is being and under the tutelage of Coach Saban, that if somebody doesn't get that opportunity, all because Coach Nick Saban said, oh, I want Jeremy Pruitt because I know he's a good coach. I know he's got a 6-year show cause, but go stick him in some file closet over there. That would be embarrassing. I firmly believe that Nick Saban would not stoop to that level and grab somebody on his staff like that. I hope not, right? Because I believe in Coach Saban, you know, wants the right things for Alabama. He wants the right things for college football. So that's one thing I cross my fingers and hope doesn't happen.
Right. Well, I know Jeremy probably doesn't need the money, but if his dad or his brother needs a defensive coordinator, maybe he could call for them in high school.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know Coach Pruitt that well, other than the fact of, hey, I know he could coach defenses. The problem is he was put in a bad position to be a head coach. right? Like this was during all the turmoil, and it did not work out well for him.
All right, question two and three, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer, Peter. Thank you for taking my call today. But what do you think overall of Alabama this coming season? And what do you think of the Philadelphia Eagles' chances of being able to win the Super Bowl with Alabama's offense and Georgia's defense?
Man, they're fun to watch. Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. They are fun to watch right now. I mean, that's Philadelphia, Georgia, kind of, you know, Kobe Dean and Davis, all those guys. Like, that is fun to watch, especially I just pull for Jalen Hurts. Always seemed like a good guy, right? So I like that. As far as for Alabama, I think they're going to be damn good. I just don't think that they are as elite as they have been in years past, especially when it comes to them throwing the football. Now, the question is, can you win football in 2023 by playing more of Alabama football in 2012, which is we're going to play great defense, we're going to control the field, we're going to run the hell out of the ball until we make you want to tap out? That's what I know Bama for. Like, let's be honest with you. It always felt weird when Bama was throwing the ball around the ballpark. Like, I know they started doing with Lane and all these other coordinators, but Bama football feels like it's Derrick Henry, it's Trent Richardson, it's T.J. Yeldon taking screen passes and breaking LSU fans' heart. I think they're good. Are they good enough to make it to Atlanta? Yes. Will they? Still think it's LSU. 855-242-PAUL. More of your phone calls coming up. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.